The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because you always win. In this series, The Force of Faith, Pastor Winston gives insight into the truth that faith is a spiritual force. He explains how physical things are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit, and as you walk in these truths, there will be nothing that your faith cannot accomplish. Let's join Pastor Winston as he teaches on the force of faith.
We're reading verse 1 of Mark chapter 16. We're talking on the subject, the force of faith. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And the line, bought. Now, the him that they're going to anoint is Jesus. As you know, this is after his passion, after he had gone to the cross. And now they're going to the grave site where he was to be buried and going to anoint him. But they had bought spices. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And we talked about this idea of rising of the sun. And we talked about it from the respect of over in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we started reading at verse 18 through 20. But we saw that we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Okay. Now, we said that the day dawn. If you take the Word of God and you begin to meditate it, as you do, something will start lighting up. You begin to even, the Bible says, in thy light will you see light. You'll start getting light on certain scriptures. The entrance of his word giveth light. You'll start seeing in and through scriptures. The Holy Spirit will start painting pictures inside of you, and you'll start seeing yourself there when Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You'll start seeing the scene just like you have in a movie house or something, that the light can come on, that you'll see in and through this word. You'll see what it means past your mind into your heart. Okay? Now, I said all that to say, when very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Now, that's a question. So they're asking a question of who is going to roll this stone from the door of the sepulchre, of the grave. Now, it was a cave. And like I said, my wife and I had gone over there in Jerusalem and seen it. They show you where Jesus was buried. And they show you this cave. And you almost got to kind of stoop down to walk inside of it. But inside of it, you know, is a burial, kind of a flat surface that you lay a body and so forth and so on. Now, this is where he was laid. And a stone was put there, because it was thought that, or it was rumored, that someone was going to come and take this body. And when they took the body, they were going to put out the story that Jesus rose from the dead, but they really just stole the body. Got it? So the Roman government sealed the tomb and put soldiers by it. Nobody could take it. However, these women bought spices. Now, verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Folks, this thing will preach right there. Now again, here's a stone on the door of the tomb that sealed it. Apparently they put some sealer around it, because they weren't planning on going in there. They sealed it because it was going to be sealed forever. That was it. And the Roman soldiers supposed to have been guarding it. Now, here come some women who bought spices. And this was kind of the same oil that was used back in 2 Kings chapter 4 that this woman had in her house, that's all she had was a little oil, precious oil. It was worth, somebody say, about a year's wages. She bought it. They bought this oil because they came to anoint this body. Now they're asking a question as they go. Who is going to roll away the stone for us? Are you following what I'm saying? Now this we're talking about the force of faith. Who's going to roll away? I mean, who's going to do this? So notice, in their minds, they had doubt. But the sun had arisen in their hearts. Got it? So the way you get past the intellect is by revelation. Because the intellect, for the most part, has been subject to and trained by a system of the world. And intellectually, that there was, in the mind, there was no way possible to get in there. But this is walking by faith, not by your intellectual five-sensed rule mind. You're walking by something that's on a higher plane. And that's why you can come with an idea that came from revelation and somebody with information ask you, what are you talking about? But notice, once that was in their hearts and they believed it and acted on it, the stone was rolled away. It's a powerful thing now, because we've been trained a little bit differently. We've been trained to sit down and wait on all the evidence before we buy this oil. Now, come on now, you with me? The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, let me take a moment and let's go back to that scripture. 1 Timothy and chapter 6, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can put something right there if you want to. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because you always win. Always. No exceptions. Now, don't try to figure everything out with your mind, because the mind drops down to information or details, and the devil's into details. You have been designed to walk on a higher level than a natural man. When I say man, I mean mankind. You follow what I'm saying. Now, what happened to these women? What happened here? They just received the word. And they believed the word. And when they did that and acted on the word was made flesh. The word did exactly what the word says do. You see, you're not waiting on God. I can guarantee you, as you sit there and whatever you have need of, whatever you're waiting on right now, guarantee you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Because you have to meet the criterion for God to work. He can't work without you believing it. I'm not talking about believe it with the head. I said believe it with your heart. Come over with me. Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Let me know when you get to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, he says in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So in this case, you believe it and speak it. In that case that we saw, they believed it and acted on it. Now, they got it from Jesus. They just received his word. And it got down in their hearts. So what I'm telling you is that when you doubt, the Bible doesn't say, do not doubt in your head. It says, just don't doubt in your heart. Turn over to it, to Mark chapter 11, please. Your mind is nosy. See? When you and I were born again, our spirits came alive to God. Now our hearts are ready for the soil of the Word of God. They're ready, the seed of the Word of God. They're ready for it. See? Before, it thought that that seed was foolishness. But now it's ready for it. So that word goes in your heart. Now look what it says here in Mark. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering and said to them, "Have faith in God." Another way of saying that is have the what? God kind of faith. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass," keep going, "he shall have whatsoever he said." Now notice what he said, underline it, "do not doubt in his heart." Do not doubt in his heart. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that you can doubt in your head, that your head still be unconvinced of what you're trying to do, you can do or can work. But faith is a spirit. Faith is a spirit, and you can't feel a spirit. Come on over there. Come on over to Romans, please. Romans chapter, Second Corinthians chapter 4. Please forgive me. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I'm preaching this out of my spirit, folks. This is coming right out of my spirit. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Look at verse 13. We having the same what? Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I can tell you when the spirit of faith is on somebody. Because I can look at it on their face. You will find that people who don't have the spirit of faith, in other words, they've gone somewhere and listened to something or whatever, and the spirit opposite faith or the spirit of fear, which includes unbelief, doubt, all that, all that's on them, you'll see it on their face. Faith, the spirit of faith yields a happy countenance. You don't see worry on them. See? Now, this whole system is designed to keep you and me in fear. Because that's one of the ways Satan controls humanity. By different levels of fear. But realize that fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. And you can't feel a spirit. The only time you know fear is there, without the Spirit of God giving you the unction for it, the only time you know it's there is when you get frightened. Now, that's a manifestation of the spirit that was already there. Well, if that's the case, let's look at faith. Faith is a substance, come on, of things hoped for, come on, the evidence of things not felt. I just put felt in there because you're dealing with the five physical senses. You can't detect it. If you can detect faith and you know faith and you can detect it with your five physical senses, you don't have a hold of faith. You got a hold of something else because these senses cannot detect it. But God can give you a way of detecting faith, glory to God, through confidence. Now, why is faith so important to you? Because faith has no limits. There is nothing that faith cannot accomplish. Let's look at faith for a moment as a servant. Okay. Well, let's go on over there. Let's go over. Where are we now? Where are we right now? Second Corinthians. Okay. Spirit of faith. All right. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. Folks, we can have you walking so high in the spiritual realm. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm just saying, don't be just putting your big toe in there and just, woo, that's good. Get on in there, wade around, let it come up waist level. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
All right, in Luke 17, look what it says first in verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, and you rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. And if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive it. And the apostles said unto the Lord, you're going to have to give me some more faith for that. Now, that I'm putting it in my own words, okay? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. See, they're asking him to increase their faith because he can't do that. You increase your faith. See, faith grows. It grows like anything else grows because it's a servant. Look what it said in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted into the sea, and it what? Should obey you. Now, it should obey you. Now, the original Greek says it would obey you. You got it? All right. So, but which of you, verse 7, having a servant, plowing, underlined servant, and feeding cattle, would say unto him by and by when he's come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. That's the way you treat a servant. And I was saying, when I was in California, when I was in the business world with IBM and I was going to a big meeting in California, I went there and I had to leave a little early. So I got out and a limo came to pick me up. I got in the limo, the guy opened the door, took my bags and everything, very nice. And he's driving to the airport and I was looking a little behind time. So and he was trying to make up time and making small talk and so forth. And that was fine. And, you know, and so we got there. And when we got there and pulled up in the front of the airport, you know, I didn't think. I'm looking at my watch here. I'm running a little bit late. And so I just went ahead and jumped right out. Well, I got down. By the time he got out and got around to my side there, he said, sir, I was going to get that door for you. I mean, this, as they say, broke his heart. What? Why? Because there was something about him that made him feel like he was doing his part when he opened the door for his customers. You see, I took away his part. See, faith is a servant. Don't take away his part.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Now, are you following what I'm saying? Faith is used to working. When he finishes one job and he comes in, don't let him get on the couch, lay around, watch TV. Put faith back out that he's been sent to you by God to work for you and bring you into every promise that God has for you. That's what faith does. And you have to treat faith like that. That he's a servant and he works for me. Now, the more work he does, the stronger he gets. So where it would take you a week to receive your harvest before, once you build him up a little bit more, it'll take 2 days. Build him up a little bit more, it'll take 2 hours. Come on now. And Jesus could work faith anytime, any place. And when they didn't express faith, he said, where is your faith? Why? Because the devil had stolen their faith and given them fear. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's look at another example. It's in that same chapter. It's where we're moving based on our hearts and not based on our heads. I'm saying that because the enemy is playing tricks on people. The Bible says we have to cast down what? Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the battlefield is in the mind. So the enemy is going to try to talk you out of your faith because he knows the faith is the only thing that you need to defeat him. So he's going to try to convince you in your mind you're not ready yet. So you have to fight the what? Good fight of faith. Are you following what I'm saying? And a lot of people are trying to feel it. You don't need to feel it. You follow what I'm saying? As you confess this thing, something just begins to start leading you. Even if God has to send a donkey to you and speak to you, or somebody say, I had a dream about you last night that you just inherited, you just got, you just did, so forth and so on. Your faith is beginning to express itself in the spirit realm. And people are coming with confirmation that you are ready to receive whatever God has for you. Glory to God. Boy, this is coming out of the spirit here tonight. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. Okay, so let's look at Luke chapter 17 again. And look all the way down here at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Ooh-wee. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, come on, they were cleansed. As they went, something happened. If they sat there, nothing happened. But as they went, they were cleansed. Are you following what I'm saying? Now this is with anything. Faith hold something right there and turn with me over to Hebrews and chapter 11. I'm coming back there. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is the language of the rich and famous in the kingdom. And look what it says in verse 2, for by it elders obtain a good report, by faith now. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the things that you can see that are visible were not made by something that is visible. It wasn't made by brick. It wasn't made by mortar. It wasn't made by some trees and wood that you got from some trees. It was made from faith. Now, true enough, we know it was the Word of God that did it. But watch this. You ready? Word, faith, things. Got it? Word, faith, things. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. You have it? Verse 1, let us therefore fear or disbelieve, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was a gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what? Did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. So they heard the word, but they didn't take time to mix it with what? Faith. Word, come on. Faith, come on. Things. You got it? I'm not ashamed of the what? Gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believes. That's the same progression. Word, faith, things. Word, faith, things. Now, why is it so powerful? It's so powerful because it bypasses all of the details. It bypasses all of the details. The devil's in the details. God doesn't want you to figure out how it's going to happen. See, that's his job. Your job is only to believe. So it passed by all the details. So the next thing you have, word, then faith, then things. See, God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. So he did the same thing, trees, fish, whatever it was. And he called it. Whatever he said became. Yes. What did God release through his word? Faith. And what did it become? Things. You got what I'm saying? He made you the same way. Don't be trying to figure out, let's see, this fish, the fish scales are made out of this, and the fish bladder is made out of, just say fish. And house be. Come on now. Health be. Sickness go. You're not getting into details of how this is going to happen. That's a trick of the enemy.
Yes,
just get the rising of the sun. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hold something right there and turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. All right, so faith will fix anything. Don't fight with your reasoning or your mind. Fear is a spirit, and you cannot defeat fear with your mind. So don't try to figure everything out. Just realize that the devil's in the details. Just receive the word, believe the word, and act on the word.
Amen.
Faith has no limits. Say, faith has no limits.
Faith has no limits.
All right. Let's look at one thing here, and then we'll go back there. And real quick, come and just try to wrap this up. Y'all, you're still with me so far. How are we doing? Are we doing okay?
Yes.
Now, how many here have faith? Okay. Everybody has faith. It's just that now you need to do what to it? You need to work it. You need to develop it now. You need to start using it. Don't use it on a 19-room home and get that home by next week and use your faith to do it. I can almost guarantee you, you're not quite there yet. Now, God can do the impossible. Say amen to that. But normally, start with a necktie, purse, set of earrings. I'm not talking about no diamond studded. I'm talking about just some of them down there at the dollar store. Just start with something that you can work into until you know, I follow what I'm saying? Start with a parking space. Start with something. Build your faith up. Let your faith get strong. Don't start all this at once. I want a corporate. I want my own jet. Rolls Royce. God told me, stop all of that. Go down there. Look at the thing down there, over there across the street at Sam's Club, and just look at it and say, okay, that. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm going to believe God. I believe I've received it. You follow what I'm saying? Go over down to the sales where they're having 5 blouses for $5. Just believe God for one of them. Okay, now, let's look here. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Okay. All right, look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse. You with me, right? Okay, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Because of what? Unbelief. Now, who was he referring to when he said they didn't enter in because of unbelief? Who was he referring to? He was referring to who? The children of Israel. Okay, they were supposed to go into the promised land, but they didn't believe the word that was spoken. What word did they not believe? Well, we know God has spoken already, but when the 12 spies came back, that 10 of them spoke things that were unbelief, because they spoke it according to the reasoning of the mind. But then 2 of them spoke faith. They released the word of faith. They said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are what? Well able to what? Overcome it. Now, what are you supposed to do? Not try to figure that out. Just receive the word. Glory to God. Well, somebody in here ready to receive. I mean, there's really. I sense that thing. I sense it. Just this right here has done something. Somebody's about to receive something that you've been waiting on to receive. Your doubt has been in your head, but now you know that that can be doubt in your head, but faith in your heart. Amen. So, the results of unbelief can be devastating. Unbelief in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of unbelief. Look at the thing which happened to Moses. Look what happened here. And Moses went with the children of Israel, and he was waiting for some water. They're waiting for water, and he struck a rock the first time, and the water gushed out. But then the next time, over in Exodus chapter, Numbers chapter 20, he was supposed to speak to the rock. See the progression that God's taking? But the real revelation of that is that you only supposed to strike the rock once. In other words, the rock was Christ, and Christ was only smitten once. See, if you smite him twice, you're trying to send him back to the grave. You got what I'm saying? See, he communicated the wrong message when he did that. And God said, okay, you're not going over. But what happened? Why did Moses strike it twice? What happened? What? Okay, he got angry with them. People around you sometimes can affect how you're thinking and so forth. If you let them pull you down into unbelief, then you'll end up striking rocks and you not go into your promised land. What I'm saying is faith always keeps a good attitude that no matter what they say. Now look at Romans chapter 3, please, real quick. Romans chapter 3, let me know when you get there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, look at Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What? God forbid. Yea, come on. Let God be true, but every man be a liar. I heard Dr. Fred Price say when we were first starting the ministry and so forth, I was looking at him on television, and he was talking about some people, because some people in his congregation didn't like him too well. They were speaking negative about him and so forth and so on. He said, now you can do what you want. Now understand, at that time he was believing God for this dome, a big dome, and for his services, and that he was going to do it cash, debt-free. But he was saying there are people that were coming that weren't necessarily for him. They didn't want to see him be successful and so forth. And he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, do you think for 1 minute that God is not going to honor my faith just because you don't like it? Got it? And he got that dome. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying there may be people sitting in here right now, or people in your own household right now, that don't particularly like what you're doing, but will the faith of God said, let God be true, praise God. I don't care what their unbelief level is. If you don't let it come into your heart, it cannot affect what God can do to your life. Faith dictates your destiny, not people. So that's what I'm telling you right now. Don't you think for a minute, if you're claiming that you're going to be a wealthy person and that you're going to have these things here, look here, you don't know how God's going to do it. Just find you a promise in the Word of God and receive it by faith. Don't get into the details. If there are details in there, God will show you what steps to make. But you be just like the woman. Get the oil set up. Praise God. Get your business plan laid out. Praise God. Get your bank accounts open. Praise God. If you're looking for the harvest, where is your account? Come on now. I'm saying this is your time. God says, I will recompense that. Oh, have mercy. I'm preaching another message now. Only one man returned, and Jesus asked a question. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Somebody said, well, how did he know there were 10 cleansed? By faith. When God releases his word to you, watch this. He's done with it. As far as he's concerned, you are healed. As far as he's concerned, wealth and riches are in your house. The rest is up to you. So who will roll away the stone for us? Faith in God. Faith is your servant. You'll take care of every stone that's in your life. Give the Lord a praise and a thanksgiving.